Centennial Broadcasting presents Valley Feedback, a look at the people and issues making news in our community.
Welcome to the program. I'm Robert Allen. This week's guest is Ken Slack with VDOT. Welcome to the show, Ken. Thank you so much for your time.
We appreciate you having us on. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about snow readiness. It's that time of year. VDOT's had some media briefings showcasing preparation for the upcoming season. What's the budget this year statewide for tackling winter weather?
The statewide budget is about $210 million. In the Stanton District alone, which includes the northern part of the Shenandoah Valley, we've got about $15.5 million set aside for snow removal and hoping we don't need it all.
How does that compare to last year's budget?
It is a little bit higher than last year by about a half million or so. That number, of course, is a moving target. You never know what winter's going to bring. We do base that number on basically an average of the last five winters. But last year we spent considerably less than we had budgeted. The year before that, considerably more. So you never know what Mother Nature is going to bring you. But you do your best to take a shot at the budgeting and make sure you're ready for anything.
You've also got a lot of resources. What's available to handle Old Man Winter?
We could throw a whole lot of metal out there. We have more than 10,000 pieces of equipment statewide that we have access to. That's everything from snowplow trucks to motor graders, front-end loaders. Even in some of our subdivisions and secondary roads, we'll even use some tractors because they're very maneuverable, and a lot of those folks behind the wheel of those things are very experienced. But, of course, this is a mix of VDOT employees as well as contractors and hired equipment. There's no way we can do this alone so that, when we have a big storm come, we reach out to our partners in the private industry, and we can put lots of manpower and equipment on the road when we need it.
Not only do you remove snow, plow snow, but you also do pre-treatment. That's been occurring a lot more in the past few years, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Probably for about the past four or five winters, we have been engaging in anti-icing operations. It's basically a brine that we spread out on the roadways, the interstates and key primary roads in advance of the winter storm. So you know the road's been pre-treated if it's in the forecast and you're going down the roadway and you see those white stripes. That is the anti-icing that's been put down. It's basically a salt mixture that's placed on the roadway to help keep the snow and ice from bonding to the road surface. And it basically buys our folks some time as well. So those early hours of the snowstorm, we've got a little bit of material on the roadway that can help melt what initially comes down. But I should also point out, though, that we can do this if a storm is not going to be starting as rain. A lot of times we have a storm that starts as rain and then switches over during the overnight hours. And if we put down the anti-icing in a case like that, it'll just get rained right off and washed out into off the road surface.
What's the process for clearing roadways?
Well, they are, and sometimes they're out there even before the snowfall actually begins. We sometimes get phone calls like that. Why is that truck sitting at the bottom of the off-ramp doing nothing? Well, we do our best to predict and have our folks ready to go at the very beginning of the storm. And as you might guess, in the initial stages of the storm, it's going to be interstates and key primary routes, like Route 11, 50, 17, in the early hours of the storm. And oftentimes, if we have really heavy snow, it's putting it down an inch or two an hour. We have to stay on those main roads just to keep them passable and keep things moving. But obviously, then we move on to the secondary roads, and then the subdivisions and the side streets and back roads are sort of the lowest priority. But we really have to prioritize based on the traffic counts and key infrastructure that's along those roadways. But in most storms, we'll have everything passable within 48 hours. In a smaller snowstorm, it'll certainly be more like 24 hours.
Well, you mentioned all the money set aside for the budget this year. What happens if you deplete that money?
Well, there's really no such thing as depleting it. I mean, there have been, like I mentioned a couple of years ago, we have a winter that we go far beyond the budget because, we had several statewide storms. But we want to make sure folks understand we are not going to back off because, we're having to spend a little more than we had budgeted. We go just as hard on these storms in March as we do in December. But I should point out that, our snow removal budget is just a portion, a relatively small portion of our overall maintenance budget. And so we can dip into that if necessary. And also there are times when, say, there's a big storm in the western part of the state, but the eastern part of the state has an easier winter, and sometimes we can share resources as the season goes on.
People want more information about VDOT snow readiness and process. Where can they find it?
Well, on our website, virginiadot.org, there's all kinds of links to our resources, and it kind of has all kinds of details about the way we attack a storm, lots of frequently asked questions, all kinds of data about our budgeting, about the types of materials that we use, types of equipment we use. It's probably more information about snow than you could ever ask for.
I'm Robert Allen, speaking with Ken Slack with VDOT. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about some projects. One, there near Front Royal, the South Fork Bridge and the QRI. Please give us an update on that.
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest projects we've had in our district for many years. It has been a four-year construction project, and we are running and kind of stretching toward the finish line at this point. The South Fork Bridge is complete. That is that's the longest bridge in our district, at over 1,900 feet long, six lanes wide. The quadrant roadway intersection there at Route 340, 522, and Route 55 is in operation, but I will caution folks, you are going to have some continued congestion and delays out there for the next few weeks. We have median construction that we're doing on 340, some final paving, line painting, and putting up and activating the permanent traffic signal. So we are so close. We can almost taste it at this point, but we do have a few more weeks where folks are going to have some lane closures and some daytime delays.
That QRI, it's a different intersection. Are people having difficulty navigating it?
Well, we knew going into this that there was going to be a learning curve. This is the first intersection of its kind in Virginia. There's a couple of other ones in the United States, but there's a good chance that the folks in that Front Royal area have never seen it before. So we really engaged in a campaign to really try to let folks know what it was, how it works, and why it's going to be a little bit better once they get used to it. We have had a series of public meetings throughout the Warren County Front Royal area. Newspaper ads, news releases, social media outreach, and set up a special website for it as well.
Yeah, you can see some videos on how to navigate whichever direction you frequent.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's all at QRIVirginia.org. It's all spelled out, QRIVirginia.org. There's all kinds of information about the intersection. And as you just mentioned, we've got links to traffic simulation videos. There's six different videos. One that kind of gives you an overview. And then there's a separate video that you have the driver's eye view as you move through the intersection, depending on where you're going and where you're coming from. So, if you're dropping off your kid at Rhodes Elementary School, and then you want to head out toward I-66, it shows you exactly how to navigate through the QRI.
Well, another big project that's in the rearview mirror now was the I-81 Exit 310 project. That wrapped up well ahead of schedule, didn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, about 9 months ahead of schedule. We were very pleased with that project and that contractor. They did have a mild winter, which certainly helped them a lot, but that has been a great project there on the south end of the Winchester area along I-81.
Lawmakers and others have been talking a lot lately about the need for I-81 improvements. Any major efforts on the horizon?
Well, we've got quite a few, and the kinds of projects we're doing, actually, Exit 310 is a good example of that. 310, for example, has extended the off-ramps, the acceleration and deceleration lanes. We were having problems there because of the congestion with Route 37, Route 11, Tasker, and 81 all coming together. We even had times when we had traffic starting to back down the ramps toward the main line of the interstate. And as you might imagine, that's not safe. So there have been improvements at the interchange to help with the safety and the traffic flow. And we have other ones on the horizon. We have Smart Scale funding approved for improvements at exit 296 there at Strasburg. Exit 300 where I-81 and I-66 come together, as well as some improvements at exit 315 and 323 up on the in the Winchester and Clearbrook area. So there's a lot of these kinds of projects where we are trying to minimize the conflicts between the slower and faster moving vehicles. A lot of times this will happen at an interchange where you might have a tractor trailer that's coming up the ramp and is having a trouble taking a little bit extra time and space to get up to full interstate speed. And so we're trying to minimize those conflicts by lengthening the acceleration and deceleration lanes to help traffic keep moving and keep it moving safely.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, but I do want to plug the new version of the 511 app. That's out and available. How can people find that?
Well, the quickest way to find it, whether you're using an Apple device or Android, you can get it from your App Store or your Google Play Store. it is really cool. This is not just a traditional update. There are a lot of vast improvements on there. It includes a partnership with Waze, which now gives us turn-by-turn navigation. It has a lot more tools for commuters. A lot of folks commute from between the northern Shenandoah Valley and northern Virginia and in toward D.C. It gives you some transit options and just a lot of improvements on there, a lot of things that we haven't had before. So it's definitely worth checking out, and it's a nice tool. Just make sure you're using it, getting some help from a passenger or using the voice activation and not trying to fumble with it while you're trying to drive.
Yeah, and another safety reminder, of course, a lot of people traveling the year-end holidays, slowing down in work zones, heeding that move over law, that's important, isn't it?
Absolutely. And a lot of folks may not realize the move over law, it does not just include police and fire rescue vehicles. It also includes, if you see the amber lights of maintenance and construction vehicles, VDOT and contractors, they also are part of the move over law. And it basically states, if it's safe to change lanes, to move, to give them a little space, you do that. If it's not safe to change lanes, then ease off on the speed. And of course, above all, no distractions if you're going through a work zone or an incident or emergency scene.
Where can people find more information about VDOT projects, happenings, all that?
It's all at virginiadot.org. Upcoming projects, current projects, traffic alerts, press releases. We've also got a statewide Facebook, district Twitter feed. So there's all kinds of ways we reach out to folks. And, of course, traffic info at 511virginia.org.
Yeah, and those traffic cams are mighty helpful if you're about to hit the road, aren't they?
Absolutely. A lot of folks will scroll through the cameras along the route they're taking, and it's a handy way of seeing what's in store for you when you hit the road.
Ken Slag with VDOT, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You've been listening to Valley Feedback. We encourage your comments on today's program. Valley Feedback is a public affairs presentation of Centennial Broadcasting.